Chase and Michelle, hour number two, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm Chase McCabe. She's Michelle Knezovic, the reporter Nick Keyser, reporting and playing music and doing what he does behind the glass, doing a great job as he always does. Hope you're having a fantastic Friday morning. As I think I speak for everybody on this show when I say we are ready for the weekend.
Oh, yeah, we're ready for the week. We're always ready for the weekend, but, you know, 10 a.m. on a Friday means, at least for me, I got an hour left.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Friday. You've probably heard me mention this before. I also said it was Jill and Ricky's birthday. Mm. It's karaoke night, so it's going down.
Okay.
It is going down tonight.
I think this is a good question, so text us, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Best or go-to karaoke song?
I can't say mine on the air.
Oh, I can. Mine's Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield. Goes hard every time. And everyone,
that's
everybody's like, ooh, they hear the tune and everybody knows it. Guys, girls, everyone.
It's so I can't say it because it's not FCC compliant.
Oh.
It's about Dallas.
Oh, okay. There you go. That's easy. That's an easy one. Well,
always a hit.
Ryan Porth, his is, and I don't know how it is, Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's totally Porthy's, Bohemian Rhapsody.
So we want to hear yours.
I feel like karaoke, okay, you tell me if you agree with this or not, because yours is not, but I feel like country songs just kind of play to it a little bit more. Like, especially if you play like an older country song, like 90s country or something like
country
that.
Country songs or old rock, like the song Africa. Does really, really well. Do you know that song?
Africa? Of course I know that
song. Yeah, that
Weezer redid it a few years ago.
What other one? Like, I feel like Blink-182 songs. Like,
I've done First Date before.
Mr. Brightside, that one's always a really good one. Like, kind of older songs that everybody knows the word to. Like, any song that was like a hit at some point in the 2000s on the radio, I feel like is good.
All the Small Things is always a good one. But see, like, what I like, if I'm going to do Blink-182, I try and do a song that people know but is not All the Small Things, because everybody does that. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that look, that's always going to get the crowd
It'll
going.
Get everybody singing. Also, Dixieland Alight is a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one around here.
Nate said Piano Man.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a sneaky good one.
Yeah.
Nick, what about you?
I like that. That'll get the bar going.
Oh, Internate said Piano Man. He's right here.
Oh, that was Internate? Okay, good job. I like that.
He's like, Michelle, come on, give me credit.
Brandy says, you're the reason our kids are ugly, Loretta Lynn and Conway Twitty.
I don't even know that song.
That's a good one.
But I do know Loretta Lynn, so.
That's a good one. You don't know Conway? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Conway Twitty.
Oh, maybe.
Family Guy did a spoof on that.
Oh, they do a spoof on everything. No, Natasha Bedingfield is my go-to.
I mean, I like that. I like that, but I like my go-tos are I'll do rock and roll, like straight up rock. Like, I would probably do Renegade. I haven't done that, but I probably would do that. And I can't sing for anything, but where I go for karaoke, it's accepted. So why I like it, because nobody judges.
Well, okay, the first time I ever did karaoke in Nashville, so I've done it just at dive bars in anywhere I've ever lived. But I didn't realize that karaoke in Nashville, at the place, at the establishment I went, was actually good singers.
Yeah.
And people actually singing. So
did
for
you
me,
go downtown?
No. It was just, it's actually kind of, well, whatever. We're not going to do free,
tell me
free,
later.
Free shout outs, but I didn't realize that it was like hardcore. No, we're in Nashville. Like, you need to actually be able to sing to do it. And I just started laughing hysterically on air because everybody was just staring at me. And I'm like, okay, this is like it was more of an open mic karaoke-esque, which is just not my I don't have a musical bone in my body.
All right. Cole says, man, I feel like a woman. That's a good one. I've even done that one. I did that with a group of girls. They bet me to go up there and I did that.
No, God, please.
It was something. Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline.
Amazing.
That's a go-to. Friends in Low Places. That's a good one.
Anything Garth Brooks.
Anything Garth. Caroline Fenton and I did
Call
Baton Rouge.
Yeah. I have a video of that. That was one of the
that
first.
That was at our birthday, our 102.5 The Game birthday. We did that.
I have another good one that is my second go-to. I Want It That Way by Backstreet Boys.
Oh, that's a good one.
I go like full pop
Tell
star
me
mode.
Why.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Journey faithfully. Clayton says that. That's a good one. I like that.
I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston.
That's a good one. Like Tequila Does. You know that one?
Miranda Lambert.
That's a good one.
Kelly Clarkson, Since You've Been Gone.
Oh, that's a good one.
Don't Stop Believing. I feel like that's a classic.
That's a good. Nick, what's your go-to?
Tequila. Not really. I was just doing that because you said tequila, so I was going to try to use the lyric. But no, I don't do karaoke,
man,
honestly.
I could say
no idea.
I could say something on that one, but I'm not going to.
William from Dover texts in and says, Michelle went to the Bluebird Cafe for karaoke. He's just joking because I said.
I bet I know where you went. I'll say it off air, but I bet I know where you went. There's some fun karaoke places around here. It is Nashville, but I like the dive bars where we all suck and we can just laugh at each other and, you know, just do whatever.
Wait. One that my hockey team does is Fly Away by Lenny Kravitz.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good one.
We've seen that. And, like, there's a couple of guys that sing it while we're warming up before our game on the
Hang on. Ben in Nashville.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, guys. I've had a lot of success with Taylor Swift songs. Women always love that at the bar. Well, I bet they do. Good job, Ben.
Well, Taylor Swift is an icon. And I will say, though, you know, like We Are Never Getting Back Together. Like, that's one that everybody knows. Even, like, you throw in Hannah Montana, like, Party in the USA.
I tell you what, I will take the audience suggestion. And if it's a Taylor Swift song, that's fine.
There you go.
Give me a song tonight, and I will make sure there's video of it that we can bring to the socials and bring to the show.
Okay, there you go. So
615-737-1025. Pick Chase's karaoke song for tonight.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. I feel like we might need to do like a vote on like 1, 2, and 3.
Well, let's get some suggestions going on the text line, and then we'll put the poll up on Twitter.
Oh,
we'll
love that. Yep, that's great.
In honor of Ricky and Jill's birthday.
And it being Friday.
And
our musical guests.
And look, you know, when it comes to karaoke, you know, sometimes there's little liquid courage that goes into it. So you got to have that for sure.
Exactly.
We might be able to catch up with Adam Carolla as we go, but we will – try and do something with him. But the SEC made some announcements yesterday, and we haven't talked about college football in a while. So want to get into this because I have some thoughts on it, and I know you do too, Michelle. It's Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063 The Game. Let it play. Oh, man. I just got fired up. Even though that's not the SEC anymore, it's the Big Ten now, but that's okay.
No, you've been fired up since the start of the show.
I have been fired up. I've had energy. Look, I'm trying to bring y'all with me, okay? We're a team. That's what we do. But, it's going to be weird hearing that for the Big Ten. It is. It's going to be very weird.
See, I get excited when I hear the music, but
like that
I guess
music
in my
does
head,
it for me.
When, in my head, though, I don't associate it with.
No, to me, that's college football. Like, that is the college football theme.
Yeah. No. I see what you're saying. But, like, for SEC, Big Ten, I don't really.
Yeah. It'll be
weird for sure.
Sure. And, I mean, you know, ABC, ESPN is going to do a great job with it, with the SEC and, you know, everything moving around, college football continuing to change. But I just get, I still get fired up when I hear that. And it's been a while. You know, since I've heard it, and the spring meetings or summer meetings, whatever they are going on right now, mm-hmm. Obviously SEC Media Days will be here before we know it in July in our city. Looking forward to that. But the SEC will continue with an 8-game schedule next year and for 2024, but no decision yet on a long-term solution with that. But they are going to get rid of divisions, which I'm glad of that.
Stupid.
It's very stupid.
I mean, okay, the Big 12, the Big 10, the Pac-12 have moved to 9 conference games. You're the SEC. You're supposed to be the best. Why aren't we doing 9 conference games?
I mean, I don't either. And, like,
I just don't get it, right? Like, what we talk about in Greg Sankey's comments the other day, I don't know if it was on Feinbaum or or somewhere, I think it was Feinbaum, but saying something along the lines, well, you know, Georgia in the national championship game, like, what was that score? We're clearly the best. Okay, so play non-conference games. I mean, it's, right? Like, if it's about money, you're going to get money for that extra game, right? So I don't understand the logic in staying to 8 and not moving to 9. I really don't.
I don't either, because here's the other thing. Like, I've seen people say that, you know, Greg Sankey and the SEC and, you know, the networks, they don't care about the rivalry games. And maybe they do and maybe they don't. But they should, because it's all about money for them. And don't you think, like, if they can say, hey, kicking off the SEC schedule in 2024 for the first time in over 10 years, Texas versus Texas A&M, yeah. Do you not think people would get fired up for that and watch and make you a crap ton of money?
Well,
like,
I mean,
I don't get it.
Any conference game, any extra game, you know, with the TV, each school will get compensated and will have more revenue for that extra conference game. That's what I don't understand in the whole, you know, we want to keep rivalries alive. Okay, well, you know, adding that extra game will allow you to keep not only the traditional rivalries, but maybe some rivalries as of new, some programs that are on the rise that mm-hmm. you want to keep those as well. I just think, I honestly just do not, with Oklahoma and Texas joining, you have more rivalries that you're going to want to restore, rivalries that haven't been put into place in years and years and years. And other conferences, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the Big 10, all have 9 conference games. And you're the SEC and you sit here and say, well, we're the best, we're the super conference and everything. Okay, then just have 9 conference games.
Right.
There is really no benefit. And I understand for the smaller schools, yes, there is benefit to playing in Alabama. We were just talking to Nate, MTSU is playing Alabama this year. You know, there is benefit for them because they get that exposure, right? But, I mean, when Alabama has 3 or 4 of those games, it's just an automatic 4 wins on their schedule, just like it is any other SEC.
I would do it like this. You play 12 games. 9 of those will be conference games. You must play 1 Power 5 game in addition to that, which they're going to have to do with the 8 games, that they have to play the 1 Power 5. And then you can – so that's 10. So then take your other 2, make your cupcakes and home – you know, your money games for them. And because that's the other part of this too. Like, I look at it from the SEC perspective, and then I'm also looking at it from, like, MTSU, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Those games where they play Power 5 schools and they get paid for it, that's big for them.
For sure.
And so I don't want to see that go away either. Yeah. Like, I remember when I was at middle – we played Mississippi State, and they came to Murfreesboro 1 year. They played Maryland, beat Maryland. I think they played Kentucky. I mean, those games are important. Those don't need to go away, but there's no reason why you can't do 9 games. And Saban, you know, has been one that's complained about it for years that he didn't want to do it, and, you know, these other coaches. You want to get to a certain point. The league has gotten to a certain point where they're the super conference and they're the best in college football. You know, really, they're starting to become the best in basketball, and yet
baseball too.
In baseball, and yet you don't want to add one extra game when it's going to be good for everybody, and so I just don't get it. It's just a silly argument to me of why it's always been a big deal. Play 9 games, play 1 Power 5, and then 2 cupcakes, or not cupcakes is the wrong term, but 2 group of 5 games. And then keep it moving. It's not a big deal to me.
No, I agree. And, you know, I like the whole rotational thing too. And I understand, you know, there's a lot that goes into being able to schedule. And they are getting rid of the divisions, which I think will help have, you know, some more. I mean, you're not going to have that rotational piece because, I mean, since Texas A&M has joined the SEC, Alabama has never gone to College Station and played them. Think about that.
Wait, what now?
Yeah.
That's – no. Because Texas A&M beat them a few years ago. That was in College Station.
Or maybe it's the opposite.
No, because they're in the West. They're both in the West, so they've gone to both places.
There's one rivalry that I'm missing. No, it's Georgia. It's Georgia. I'm sorry.
Okay, Georgia.
Not Alabama.
Yeah. That makes more sense.
I'm sorry. Georgia has never played in College Station.
Okay. Now that makes sense.
Sorry.
Because they're in the
East. That was a complete mess up on my point. Yeah. Georgia has never gone to College Station and played.
Yeah. That makes more sense. Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, is now what's going to be hard with this, and even if you go to 9 games, what rivalries do you want to protect? Like, for, you know, Vanderbilt, I want to play Tennessee every year.
You should. It's the
I want to play Ole Miss every year.
Ole Miss, Vanderbilt?
Mm-hmm. That's one of their rivals. That's been a protected rivalry for a long time. I probably want to play Kentucky every year. Like, if it's those three, if it's Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Kentucky, you know, I'd be good with that from Vanderbilt. From the Tennessee perspective, it's harder because, I mean, I think you want to keep Alabama. I think you want to keep Georgia. You got to keep Florida.
I don't know if you would be able to keep Georgia. You would probably do Alabama, Florida, Vanderbilt if there is only three. I think that would be Tennessee's three.
Well, what about
three.
Kentucky?
Well, I think Kentucky's would be Missouri, Vanderbilt. Because here's the thing. Kentucky and Tennessee, it's just become a recent rivalry, right? You know, Kentucky hasn't been...
Kentucky-Tennessee?
Like, in football.
Well, okay, recent rivalry from the competitive standpoint,
yes.
But, I mean, and I see where you're going with this. Because it can be, like, if you're Vanderbilt... Or if you're Tennessee, you don't really look at Vanderbilt as a rivalry because you've beaten them every year.
Yeah, but that's in-state, so that's different, I personally
Yeah, but
think.
Kentucky-Tennessee, it's just, you know, it's like the border battle.
Well, yeah, for sure. But it's like, okay, you're going to keep – over Kentucky-Tennessee, you're going to keep Alabama, Florida, and Vanderbilt over Kentucky.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. Growing up here and being in it, like, that was a big deal. Kentucky-Tennessee has always been a big deal.
Yeah, I
so
think
is
it's
Alabama.
Just, well, I think it's just hard because you got to get rid of one of them. But the Georgia aspect, I mean, I think it would be Georgia, Florida, of course, Georgia, South Carolina, and then Georgia.
I'd be curious what Tennessee fans think like that, because honestly, they're gonna answer this better than I am. But I know growing up here, I mean, Kentucky, Tennessee's a big deal, Alabama. Tennessee's a big deal. I mean, Georgia. I mean, they were pissed when they expanded in 1992 and they lost Auburn. Because Tennessee-Auburn was a big one, too.
Yeah. I wonder if Auburn would be with Georgia. It's really hard. It is hard because, like, you're not going to be able to keep and restore all of them. And then with Oklahoma and Texas coming into the mix, you, of course, have to put those in. I mean, people are going to want to see Texas-Alabama. But
so would you take if you're in charge and you're doing this, would you basically say, all right, I'm going to protect one every year. So let's just say Tennessee, Alabama will play every year. OK. And then the other ones, it has to be at least every other year. And so you might lose one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think that's bad. You have like one that you do every single year.
But then there's
year.
Tennessee, Florida. I mean, there's look.
And there's the in-state ones, right? Yeah. Ole Miss, Mississippi State. And I know, like you said, some Tennessee people were like, Vanderbilt's not – well, it's still in-state. So you keep those. You always keep the in-state ones. Alabama, Auburn. Auburn wasn't competitive last year, but you still always will keep that in-state rivalry.
Yeah.
Texas.
It's hard. You got 16 teams and only 9 games or 8 games right now.
Then Arkansas. We haven't even talked about Arkansas.
Yeah.
LSU, right? Like, where does LSU fall into these things?
I mean, look, it's fantastic.
So Kenneth Coleman on our text line says,
yeah,
it's Tennessee versus Alabama and Tennessee versus Florida. Those are the two biggest, in my opinion.
I would agree with that. And then, so Sean just texted me, they'll have to keep Georgia-Auburn, right? It's the oldest rivalry in the South. He's right.
Okay, so
100%.
That's, yeah, so I think Georgia will be Georgia-Auburn, Georgia-Florida, and Georgia-South Carolina.
Which, I mean, Georgia-South Carolina.
Yeah, it's meh, but Alabama's already Alabama-Auburn. You're probably going to do Alabama-Texas and Alabama-Tennessee.
No. Alabama. I do Alabama LSU over Alabama
or
Texas.
See, it's hard. I need it like in front of me. It's hard though. But then
like, I don't get the only rivalry with these new teams coming in, or the only two that I would care about would be keeping Texas Oklahoma and restoring Texas A&M. Like them
then
doing,
who would be Texas's third one? Arkansas?
I don't care. I mean, I don't think it matters. Like there's you could say Texas, Tennessee for all I care. UT versus UT.
So
they're
the point,
fabricating.
But
something.
Here we go. The point in all of this is you're not going to be able to keep all of them. And even you saying no, we need LSU. Well, what if they want LSU to have these three other games? And you still have to kind of put that one matchup in there that's not really, might not really be a rivalry, but because of scheduling and because of matching everybody, I mean, the likelihood of you getting your top two is unlikely.
I love this conversation because it's so difficult, but it's also fascinating. Texter says Arkansas and Texas rivalry will be back and will need to be protected. And obviously the Red River rivalry will need to be protected. But I mean, okay, that and I thanks for the text. Do people still care about Arkansas, Texas? Like, do people still care about Tennessee, Auburn? Like, they've been gone for 30 years.
Yeah, but the excitement of like bringing it back per se.
Sure, but I mean, are you going to bring it back over protecting some things that have already been established? That's what they got to figure out.
Yeah, what is going to trump? Is it going to be the rivalries that's been instored and still been here, or the newer rivalries, or the older ones? Like, it's gonna be interesting. But 9 conference games. Well, they have 8. They should be doing 9.
Coming up next, we'll get into a little racing. There's a big event coming up at the Nashville Super Speedway at the end of this month. We'll talk to Matt Graici, who is their general manager, about that, and also driver Joey Logano. They'll both join us next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, coming up at the end of the month, June 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the Nashville Super Speedway. It is Ally 400 weekend, first time that the Ally 400 will be a night race. Now, it did finish under the lights last year because of the rain, but we say hello to Matt Graici, the Vice President, General Manager, Nashville Super Speedway. Matt, my friend, it's almost here. How are you?
Great, Chase. Thanks for having me this morning. Yes, we are just at 3 weeks out from our NASCAR event. So 3 weeks from today, we'll have our stars of the NASCAR series, all three series here, and they'll be on track. So we are super excited and looking forward to the next 3 weeks and getting you and the rest of the industry on site and all our race fans.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being a part of it once again. This year for the third straight year. But how about this? Nashville's own, Middle Tennessee's own, Nate Bargatze going to serve as the honorary pace car driver for the Ally 400. I love how much you all are mixing in some local people to be a part of this.
Yeah, Nate's going to be great. Getting him in the Ford Mustang pace car prior to the start of the Ally 400 is going to be tremendous. And we're leaning into what Nashville is. Nate is synonymous with entertainment, and that's what we're looking to put on for the entire weekend. And looking forward to them. Old Dominion will give our Grand Marshal command for the Ally 400 that same day. And Parker McCullum will be our pre-race concert prior to the Ally 400. So we are looking forward to that event day, but plus the two prior to that we are looking forward to hosting the NASCAR series of Craftsman Truck Series on Friday night for a Rackley Roofing 200. And Saturday is our Xfinity Series Tennessee Lottery 250, and it's going to be a great action-packed weekend.
You can go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com where you can get tickets to all three of those events. Now, what are some other things that people can do while they're there? You mentioned the concerts, but I know you got a lot of premium options, camping, different things for folks to do during the weekend.
We've got a green room lounge that we're launched out this year, which is a premium experience. It's all inclusive food and beverage just outside of Turn 4. Great on action views will be great there for all fans who accompany. We've got a Turn 4 infield activation, which is open to anybody that's got a race ticket plus a fan zone fan walk pass for us. That's a great upgrade, and you'll be up close to the on-track action coming through turns 3 and 4, unparalleled views down there. And we've got consumer options and all that. But also, I mean, the fan zone is action-packed throughout the weekend with displays, driver appearances, music, pre-race, post-race, driver appearances that will be out throughout the and family entertainment with bounce houses, face painters, everything that you can accompany. You're going to get your value, your ticket, before the race even starts, and that's going to be an action-packed weekend.
I know also, even though the cup race is at night, the truck race is at night, obviously the Xfinity race is going to be during the day. It is late June in Middle Tennessee. It is expected to be hot, but you all have once again added even more areas where fans are able to stay cool.
We have. We keep leaning into just mitigating some heat with misting stations, cooling options, free water refills throughout the venue. We understand what June is in Middle Tennessee, but with our later race start time on Sunday at 6 p.m., one, it's going to create great storylines for on-track action, but also finishing under the lights, and it'll be a lot cooler for our fans and to enjoy the day.
Matt, it's going to be fun. Looking forward to it here in 3 weeks, as you said, and we're about to talk to a driver that's going to be racing out there, and Joey Logano. So looking forward to that. But thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. We look forward to hosting everybody here in 3 weeks.
Absolutely. He is Matt Graetsche, the VP and GM at the Nashville Super Speedway, joining us, and going to be a lot of fun in 3 weeks. And one of the drivers, as I mentioned, that's going to be out there is Joey Logano, a two-time Cup Series champion. He is on the line with us now. Joey, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you today?
Nashville's been good to you, obviously, because you got to celebrate a championship here. You've won out at the Nashville Super Speedway in the Xfinity Series before, but I know you got to enjoy coming back to Nashville when you have all those milestones.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, NASCAR and Nashville kind of go together like peanut butter and jelly, if I'm being for real. It just seems like country music and NASCAR racing is a good pair, and we see that with the turnout at the racetrack there all the time. I mean, the amount of fans that show up, the experience everybody has, the racing that happens there, it's all been really good the last couple of years. And obviously the banquet there has been a lot of fun as well. So looking forward to getting out there again.
So you won the inaugural race last year at Gateway, the track formerly known as Gateway, Worldwide Technology Raceway. What is it about you and inaugural events that seem to go so well?
I'm not sure exactly what it is. I feel like our team does a really good job at preparing and kind of going off of maybe some other racetracks that are similar. And I've done a good job in practice kind of tuning it in and getting the car as good as anybody else's, right? Or better than anybody else's in those races. And shoot, Wilkesboro was almost the same way a few weeks ago. We had a really good car, poor execution, but overall, I'd say we just done a good job at getting ahead of it, I guess, somehow.
Joey Logano is with us. Yeah, North Wilkesboro, the return there, first race since 1996, the All-Star race. What'd you think of it? Old surface.
Yeah, the old surface was a lot of fun. I'd say it's the closest thing to dirt racing you're going to get to on asphalt. The surface was so wore out and old and it's really sliding around a lot, wearing tires out really, really quickly. It's like a cheese grater on the tire. So it was fun because as a racer, you had to be very smart about the decisions you made with car setup for one, but also how hard you pushed, right? The harder you push the car, the harder your tires would fall off. So really pacing yourself was a big piece of that race, which was enjoyable.
Yeah, and I know Larson kind of ran away with it, but the short track package with this new car is something that everybody's still trying to figure out. NASCAR's trying to figure it out to give us the best racing possible. What are kind of some things that you've noticed from the driver's seat that might help that?
It's definitely different than what we've had in the past, and I'd say our mile and a half stuff is probably racier than what it used to be. With the old car, and the short tracks probably still have a little bit of work to do. And, to me, probably one of the biggest things is that the trailing car cannot control the front car anymore like they used to. Meaning that, with the old car, you used to be able to get really close to their back bumper and take air off their rear spoiler, which would loosen their car up and allow you to pass them easier. Now it doesn't seem like how close you get to them matters until you knock them out of the way. That part seems to matter. But outside of that, you can't really affect the lead car by just moving the air around his car. It's kind of changed a little bit. So, there's definitely some really interesting things coming down the pipeline that are going to be tried out here soon as a sport to try to adjust that rules package. But, I still think Wilkesboro, I mean, to me, maybe I'm a little biased on some things, but I thought Wilkesboro was just a good old school short track race where, Yeah, I mean, he got out there in the lead and he managed the tires and did a good job. And the fastest car won the race, no doubt. But it was also just kind of fun to see the rest of the race. There was still a lot of good passing from second on back on the racetrack. So I think you always got to kind of take a global view at it and understand the whole thing.
Talking to Joey Logano, and yeah, I mean, you mentioned Wilkesboro. I want to see that on the schedule full time. Obviously, being here in Nashville, love what they've done at the Super Speedway. Want to see that to continue, but I also want to see some racing out at the old Nashville Fairgrounds, which is a continuing process. How important will it be to potentially add these one or two short tracks to the schedule?
I'm in for it. I think change has been great for our sport. Just trying new things, going to new racetracks has been fantastic. The turnout at the Gateway last year here in St. Louis was incredible, right? First time there in many years. Same thing when we go to there in Nashville. Anytime we go to a new racetrack, it just seems like it brings in a lot of people that haven't been to a race before because we're bringing the race to them, right? It's a lot to ask a fan of any sport to travel, you know, a couple hours up the road or more to watch an event, a sporting event. So going to new venues and bringing the racetrack to them seems to be working out really well. So I'm all about changing it up and making sure everybody gets a chance to see NASCAR racing.
It was a big weekend for Team Penske. Joseph Newgarden, who is obviously a Nashville native, wins the Indianapolis 500. Shell Pennzoil, your sponsor, a part of his team. And then Blaney wins the Coca-Cola 600 on Monday after you guys got delayed. How cool is it to be a part of this team? And even though I know you wanted to be in victory lane too, but being able to celebrate with your teammates after such a big weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a huge weekend for Team Penske. And you said it. Yeah, of course we want to be the ones in victory lane. But when you look at the big picture and you see what, you know, our race team accomplished last week, winning two huge races. The Coke 600 is big in NASCAR. And obviously, I don't need to explain what the Indy 500 is to anybody, whether you're a race fan or not, you know what that is. And probably one of the coolest pieces about it is Newgarden winning the Indy 500. It was a 100th win for Shell at Team Penske as well. So really big weekend for everybody, everyone involved with Team Penske, and obviously Shell's included with that.
So I was able to interview Joseph yesterday, and I asked him, okay, now that you've won the Indianapolis 500, because he basically told me, Roger said, go win that, and we'll talk about other things. And I said, now that you've done that, do you want to try the double? Of course he said yes. So I ask you the same question. Larson's going to do it next year. Is that something? You're a two-time champion. You've won the Daytona 500. Is that something that's on your bucket list?
It's not right now. And I'll tell you why. I don't feel like I'm good enough to do both and do it right. I got to prepare a lot to win races and understand like what's going to happen. And I feel like I got to be smarter than the other racers out there, and that means I have to put in a lot of prep work to do that. Whereas I think other guys, they may have the natural talent to be able to pull that off. But I feel like I wouldn't do good at either if I was doing that. And I want to be able to focus in, and I owe that to my race team that I race for every weekend, right, on the Cup side. And those guys, they put their heart and soul into going out there and winning. And I owe that to them to do that as well. So it's nothing against the drivers that are doing it. They might can pull it off. Maybe they can. But for me, it's not at the forefront of my mind right now.
I'm going to tell you this, Joey, that is about as honest as you can get. And that's what I appreciate about you. You're always honest. And I think that's really cool to put it out there like that.
Thanks. I mean, it would be cool. I mean, wrong. I mean, it would be really neat to do it. And I'd probably have a blast doing it, but I have more fun winning than just checking a box off saying I ran a race. I want to win.
I understand that. Now, you know, along those lines, you're one of those drivers, and you've said it before that, you know, you're a super nice guy in the garage. You get behind that wheel, you're going to win, and that's what you're going to do. Obviously, we've seen a little bit lately some aggression come out on the track. Chase Elliott going to be suspended this weekend. When you're behind that wheel and you're trying to win a race, and whether you have a rivalry with a guy or not, where is that line that you know you don't need to cross?
Yeah, I mean, it changes as you get a little bit older too, I've realized it, and you have perspective on life and what's going on. And the bottom line is you can't use a race car as a weapon. And because it's dangerous, right? I mean, we're going, you know, at that point on the racetrack where they wrecked, you're going 160 miles an hour, 170 miles an hour. And, you know, that's a big hit for Denny, right? The one that he feels. And we're all lucky that it wasn't worse, right? I've been part of an intentional crash as well. And I don't think it turns out good for either end of it, right? Like, I've even talked to Kenseth after ours, and it's like, I don't think it settled very well for him either, the way that went down. And I walked away from it. How would you feel if someone got hurt in that situation? You got to live with that the rest of your life. Hey, it's a little different when you say it like that. So I think there's plenty of ways that you need to stand your ground. I agree with that. You need to stand your ground. You can't get pushed around. But there's plenty of ways to, if you want to call it, retaliate without putting somebody at risk. Because, listen, as competitors, you're a different person than you are off the racetrack. And in 15, 20 years, whenever all of us retire, what we do on the racetrack is not going to matter. And it's going to be about, you know, who you are as a person. And to hurt somebody to where they can't live that part of their life. And maybe that's going deeper than what it should be, but I think you got to think a little bit that way when you're doing this. It's not this isn't like you get out and you punch somebody, right? Like, this has a long-term effect possibly on somebody's life. So I think NASCAR stepping in makes sense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Joey, always appreciate the conversations with you. Looking forward to seeing you out at the Super Speedway in a little less than a month, but good luck this weekend at Gateway.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
You too. That's Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 team Penske Ford. They'll be racing at the Worldwide Technology Raceway Gateway, St. Louis, coming up Sunday. You can hear that right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, starting at 1:30. Coming up next, we'll put a bow on things, talk a little more NBA, and look ahead for the best bets of the weekend. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:04 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds will continue their series against the Charlotte Knights, AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Appreciate Matt Gracie and Joey Logano for joining us. In the last segment, we've hit a lot of different things today. Here on the show, that is for sure,
karaoke
this week.
Songs.
Karaoke song. Yeah, nobody's picked my karaoke song. We got I Like Big Butts by Sir Mix-a-Lot. That's a good one.
Baby Got Back, that's another
one. Or Baby Got Back, that's what it's called. That's a good one. Looking through the text line here. Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys. That's a good one.
That's a funny one.
No, I like that one. But yeah, so we'll see how it turns out tonight, but I'm looking forward to the karaoke.
I mean, Taylor Swift is never a bad option. So
which one though?
There's so many to choose from. We Are Never Getting Back Together.
Yeah, I could try that one.
We need to see
22
that,
is my favorite heart. One from
oh
that,
that's a good one.
That song.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, from that album. But yeah, there you go. All right, let's get to our best bets of the weekend. Game one of the Stanley Cup Final will be tomorrow night, and looking forward to that. You can actually hear that after Sounds Baseball tomorrow on 94.9 The Fan, on our airwaves on 102.5, Game 5 of the Western Conference Final between the Milwaukee Admirals and Coachella Valley. That will be here, so you can hear that. But let's start. Florida Panthers plus 115 on the money line. Vegas Golden Knights at home minus 135. They are, and the Golden Knights are a minus 130 favorite in the series.
I like the Panthers in game one. I know that they've been sitting a bit, but, and people think they might come out rusty. I think a big game by Matthew Tkachuk. Give me the Panthers on the money line in Vegas tonight.
I will go with you on that. Florida plus 115. What is going on behind the glass?
I don't know, Nick. I can hear the hyena laugh from.
I hear D-Mace.
Yeah, me too.
That is for sure. But give me Florida plus 115 as well. And you know what? I'm going to go with them to win the series. I like them in six games to get it done. That is plus 475 on the Superbook Sports app. In the Association, Game 2 will be Sunday night, and you can hear that after NASCAR on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Miami getting 8.5 points. Denver minus 8.5, of course, plus 300 on the money line for the Heat.
I like the Heat in Game 2. I like them to cover that spread. Did you say it was 8.5 or 9?
8.5.
8.5. So I like Miami plus the 8.5. I know Denver ended up winning by 11 last night, and it was a similar line. But I think Game 2, some of their role players, I think some of those shots start to fall a little bit because they had the looks last night. They just weren't falling. So give me Miami plus the 8.5, and I also think they take Game 2.
Okay, so you think series tied at 1?
Bingo.
Series tied at 1. Okay. I went Miami last night and it did not work. It almost did, but I think they're going to play better in Game 2, so I'll go with you on that. I'll go Miami plus 8.5.
The thing for Miami was...
I'm not not sure on the money line, but I'll take the 8.5.
They had the looks. It was just they had one of their worst shooting nights all postseason long, so you're not going to win a game if you're Duncan Robinson's, you're Caleb Martin's. Those guys aren't hitting those shots. I thought Bam looked better, though. Maybe they could throw our guy Kevin Love out there.
I mean, Joker looked really good.
Yes, the Joker, I mean, there's no answer for him. He is a problem. But, I mean, Miami, if they can play their game, if they can be a little bit more locked in defensively and get some shots in transition, I'm not ruling it out. Denver hasn't lost a game at home this postseason.
Shout out to Caroline Fenton, who tweeted this last night, and it made me laugh. She says, Nikola Jokic is the best player in the world right now, and I will not and cannot forget that he was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial.
I know. It's his infamous story.
The Quesarito, to be precise.
Yeah. That's why you never know. We talk about prospects. We talk about drafts all the time. Nikola Jokic is doing something that... The passes he makes.
Oh, I know.
I mean...
He hit one from three last night that I was just like, that was just smooth. Smooth like butter.
So effortless. He's a fun guy to watch.
That will do it for us. Have a fantastic and safe weekend. Get some rest for sure. But coming up next, don't go anywhere. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, they are here with you as they'll talk a little more Titans, NBA, all those things. That is next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.